Okay. So what I said I want to do yesterday was, again, there are a lot of things in this subject we're going to have to deal with. But what I want to focus on is, how do we define the Karbana Omer? And as I said, there are two basic conceptualizations that we can have. One is that we view the Karbana Omer primarily as what's known as a matir, meaning its central role is to permit, and that's what defines it. Alternatively, we can say it might have certain matir properties, but it is also a mitzvah. Now, we noted that at first glance, that may in itself be the machloket in the Gemara, or in the Mishnah, really. Because if you think that really sunrise on the 16th is what creates the heter, is what allows you to eat the new grain, but when there's an omer, so either the omer delays the onset of the heter, so then it's hard to say that it's only a matir. Now, if you read that first position in the Gemara as saying, no, when there's no Beit HaMikdash, if you read it literally, that when there's no Beit HaMikdash, the only thing that's matir is sunrise. When there is a Beit HaMikdash, the only thing that's matir is the Omer. So again, you might say it's defined as a matir, because when there's a Beit HaMikdash, the only thing that matters is the bringing of the Omer, and sunrise is irrelevant. So this question seems to be in the background of all those positions that are floating around on Samachet, Amud Aleph, and Amud Bet. But the truth is that in order to fully understand it, we need to look back all the way at the beginning of the Masechet. So, welcome to, after almost a year of learning Menachot, welcome to the first daf. Welcome to the first daf of Menachot. So, the first Mishnah tells you as follows. Kol Menachot Shenik Mitzusha Lo Lishman Kshirot Ela Shelo Alu LeBa'alim L'Shem Chova. So all Menachot, and the first Mishnah in Zvachim is almost identical to this, all meal offerings, grain offerings, that kmitzah was done not for the proper. So what's kmitzah? Kmitzah is... Good. How do you take the handful? Yeah, good. So what does it look like? No. You take three fingers, you put it in it, take it like this, and throw that on the mizbeach. Now, how much do you think you get? How do you think? Now, why do you think this works? Okay, but why? Why does it even work? How much can you hold like this? Right. So the answer is not actually, because, and this is something I learned many years ago from Ray Liebdad. You can do the experiment if you want. That if you actually follow the proportions of the mincha of grain to oil, of flour to oil, you'll discover that the consistency is something like packing snow. Packing snow, like snowball snow. You know that you can pack into it, right? So that's what you're imagining. So now don't think of it as like loose flour, and don't think of it as dough. Right? Think of it as making a snowball.
So it's not just going to slip out of your fingers.
Correct. Right? So that's how much you're talking.
Okay, so is he throwing it after the incense, after it's been mixed with
Yeah, and then you take that, and that's what you throw on the fire.
And then you eat the rest.
And the rest is shirayim, with which exception? Unless it belongs to a kohen. Minchat kohen is kula kalil. How do we know? How do you know that minchat kohen is completely burnt? You know me already. That's right. The answer is because it says so in the pasuk. I'm not going to ask you where. Dintzav. Okay. Fine.
Actually, I was going to say shruva.
Okay. Okay. Vayikra or tzav would both have been, close enough. It's tzav, I believe. Okay. So the halacha is that when you bring a karban, any karban, you need to bring it lishma. For the right reasons. Now, how many factors are there in Mishma, in a normal karban? Like, how many different things do you have to have in mind for it to be qualified as fully Lishma? Six different ones. We know that from the Sugya and Zvachim.
Six different points?
Yeah, no. Four different points, six different things that you have to keep in mind, which is Lishem Bailim, right? It has to be for the owner. Right, it has to be l'shem Hashem, right? But it also has other things besides for the l'shems. There's l'reach, there's l'nichalach, whatever. Again, this is a sugya in Zvachim. Mimvav, Zion, where there are six different factors. But at any rate, so when you bring a mincha, so the normal halacha is that if you lack lishma, it's kosher in the sense that it's valid, but if it was an obligatory mincha, so the owner doesn't fulfill his obligation. So he has to bring another one, meaning it's a valid karban, and you know it can be thrown on the mizbeach, and the kohen can eat it and all that, but the owner needs to bring another one. Isn't it? Chutz, except it's like a doughy, like matzah. Great. No, that's what a mincha is. It's what it is, like a flowery, whatever it is. Anyways, chutz b'minchat chote b'minchat kna'ot. With two exceptions. What's b'minchat chote?
Sin offering.
Very good. The sin grain offering. Now the reason, and minchat kna'ot is the minchat that's brought by the sota.
I thought it.
Yes. That's what the word means. But the pasuk by sota says that she has to become a sota if she is alone with a man and the kinei lava alan, or her husband, becomes jealous. That's what's called minchat kna'ot. So, why is this true? So, as emerges here and in Zvachim, the reason seems to be as follows. A regular mincha, it has a definition outside of its localized fulfillment of its mitzvah. Meaning, it's a mincha, and it also happens to have an identity, right, or a particular goal in mind. But minchat chote, the sin offerings, are defined by their ability to provide kabbara, to provide atonement. And therefore, if they don't accomplish their goal, then they're worthless, they're meaningless. Because their definition is tied up in the fulfillment of the goal. Okay? So, like Lidugma, right? If I drive 60 miles, and it turns out I went in the wrong direction, right? That would be, I drove 60 miles, right? But it didn't do what it was supposed to do. But objectively, I drove 60 miles, correct? But what if I wasn't trying to drive 60 miles, I was trying to, I don't know, escape, right? From whatever, right? So what if I drove the 60 miles, but I ended up in a trap? Would you say, oh, I drove 60 miles, I just didn't escape? You would say, no, I just... Right? If I asked you, did you escape? The answer would be no. Right? So there's certain things that are defined, or if you want to use a physics example, right? Meaning there's certain things that there's the vector matters, right? As well as the direction. Right? Vector is includes direction, doesn't? No, it's scalar. Right, vector includes direction. Right? Oh, forget it. You guys don't remember. It's making it more complicated. Forget it.
I was never taught physics.
Seriously, God. You understand the mashal, right? Okay. So the same thing is true here. That most karbanot have a definition, regardless of whether they accomplish their goal, and therefore they're kosher, but they don't fulfill the obligation. Whereas certain karbanot are so wrapped up in their ability to accomplish something that if they don't accomplish it, they were meaningless. Like the Karban Chatat. Okay? So the Mishnah continues, Minchat Kote, Minchat Kinaot, Shekimtzan Shelo Lishman, if they did Kmitza of these two Karbanot, not for the right reasons, Natan Bekli, V'Halach V'Hikdash Shelo Lishman, Lishman Shelo Lishman, Shelo Lishman, Lishman, and then it goes to all different permutations of you did it Lishma for one part of the Avodah and not another, in either direction, Van Psula. Ketzad, Lishman, Mishlo, Lishman, and then, okay, the Gemara goes in different examples. Now, if you skip to Dav Dalid, the Gemara introduces another type of halacha, which is so wrapped up in its definition that if it doesn't accomplish its goal, it's meaningless. So we saw one is a Karban Chatat. Why a Karban Chatat? Because its goal is to forgive, to provide atonement. Really, not to forgive, atone. That's the proper English word. To atone, provide atonement. If it doesn't, it's meaningless. Okay? The second was a minchat kna'ot, where it's supposed to enable the sota procedure. If it doesn't, meaningless. But there's a third category of karbanot, whose definition is wrapped up in its accomplishment of the goal, and that's what we call, and this is where I get the language, a matir. Any karban that's brought with the and defined by its ability to permit something. So if it fails to permit, then it is meaningless. Good. So daf dalet at the bottom, three lines. The example, and this is our sugya. Good. And that's exactly my point. Is that the Gemara quotes Rav. Amar Rav, mincha ta omer. The mincha of the omer, shekimtza shel olishma, that you do kmitza not with the right reason. Right, this is the last three lines in dalet and aleph. Psula, it's invalid. Why? And if you're looking on your phone as we turn to Amud Beis, it'll get very easy for you because we'll be starting Amud Beis. Ho'il uvat lehatir. Right, again, the formulation that I had, I think, is pretty explicit in the Gemara. Since it came for the purpose of permitting, v'lo hitira, and it did not permit, therefore it is definitionally not doing what it needs to do, and therefore it is meaningless. V'chein ata omer b'Hashem nazir. The same thing is true by the korban that's brought by a nazir when he becomes tamei. Right? Look at Rashi; he clarifies nazir tamei mevi asham lahachshir umiyan nizirot taharak dechiv evi keves ben shanato lasham mayamim rishon yiblu. And then the Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph and Amud Beis at the top asham mitzora sheshachtan shelo lishman psulin. Right, all of these, right, the asham that's brought by the mitzorah, in both of these cases, it's part of their process of purification of the nazir and the mitzorah. So again,
if it was
brought shelo lishman, therefore it isn't, meaning,
no,
remember,
it was slaughtered without.
Correct. Well, because now we're talking about karbanot. It's saying the general rule is by a chatat or an omer, if you would apply the rule that the Mishnah started with, which was kasher v'lo alu l'ba'alim l'shem chova, that it's valid but it doesn't accomplish its goal, so that makes sense with a carbon that has an independent identity. But if it's defined as a carbon that permits, that allows the nazir to move on from his naziros and the mitzara to move on from his, right, from his tumatzarat, or that allows you to eat new grain, if that's its very definition, so then if it doesn't accomplish its goal, you can't say it has a standing identity. You have to bring another one. It is the carbon that permits. If it doesn't permit, it's meaningless. Okay? Right. Again, you have to think about this. If you want to think about it in English, it's the difference between things that are essentially, right? It's things that are value defined and things that are not. So for example, in English, it would be the difference between saying eating and being satiated. Right? You can say that the point of eating is satiation, but I can eat and not be satiated, right? But if I say, were you satiated, you can't say I was satiated, but I'm not satiated, right? That's the word satiate implies a result, right, rather than a process. So any karban where the process can stand alone of whether it accomplished something, so then it's kasher, it just doesn't accomplish it. But if it's defined as that which accomplishes, so then it accomplishes or it doesn't. So Rav introduces that it's not only true of the chatat, it's not only true of the sin offerings that need to atone, it's true of the omer, or things which are matir, that their definition is to permit. That if they don't permit, so then they are not kosher at all. And therefore, if you do it lo lishma, it is pasul. So he continues. Second line of the Dalet Amud Beis. Call him nachot shenikmetu shelo lishman. Any grain offering that you bring and you do kmitza not for the right reason. She wrote, Ela shelo alu lebaalim l'shem chova chutz minchat chotei minchat knaot. So now the Gemara says, v'im ita, if it was true that this is not only the case of sin offerings, but it's also true of the omer, that either accomplishes its a goal or bust. So then, why didn't you say that? Right? Why did the original Mishnah only include chatat and knaot? Why didn't it say omer if it's true of omer as well? So the Gemara says, ki ketani, ba'yachid, ba'atzibur lo k'dani. Maybe it was only talking about private offerings, but you're right. There were other offerings that were communal offerings where the halacha is the same. Okay, so that's why it wasn't there, but the halacha is still true.
Private meaning, not that you're doing
brought by an individual rather than brought on behalf of the community. Right? A sin offering is a private offering. As opposed to the Minchat Omer, which is communal. So it could just be the Beit Din. Or if you technically, if you look at Rashi on Samachet, I believe he says, the Beit Din shall Kohanim. If I remember correctly. I believe. Somewhere there. Okay, we'll have to find it. Anyways, good. So the Gemara says that maybe the halacha is true. It's just that wasn't the context of the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah was listing private karbanot, but Minchat Omer happens to have the same halacha. It just is a communal karban. Ki tani ba biglal atzma ba biglal zevach lo kedani. Second of all, it only lists karbanot that are brought on behalf of themselves, but not brought accompanying a animal sacrifice. But the Omer is brought along with an animal sacrifice. How do we know? Very good, thank you. It says so in the Pasuk. And Rashi even tells you which parak, Vayikra Chav Gimel, right, which is, V'dimenchad Omer ba'im ha'keves, techliv ha'asitem ba'yom ha'nibchemet Omer v'gomer. And ki katani anach shein kavul en zman a kavul en zman lo katani. Furthermore, it only mentioned those that were karbanot that could brought at any time. It didn't mention karbanot that are brought at specific times. Okay, now skip to Hey Amud Aleph. So if you go to Hey Amud Aleph, now at this stage in the Gemara, according to Rav, what is the very definition of the Omer, unequivocally? It's a matir. That is its definition. Its role is to permit. How do I know? Because that's what the Gemara says. Gemara says so. Right? And even when the Gemara says, why isn't it mentioned in the first Mishnah, the answer is technical. Right? Meaning the halacha is true. It's just that in terms of categorization, the right place to teach the halacha wasn't the Mishnah. But the halacha is true. If you skip, however, to Hey Amud Aleph, Menachot brings back such good memories. I learned the first parak of Menachot first time in Shanabed. Good times. Good times. We had a special afternoon share with Rav Dani Wolf on Menachot. Great times. That was the craziest month ever. I went to 3 Shir Yomis. It was wild. It was crazy. We like my chavrus and I. We prepared both for Aaron's shir on Beitza, and we went to the Kolel Gavoa shir on Mi'ila, and then in the afternoon later we went to Rav Dani's shir on Menachot. So we were learning 3 Masechta Be'ion simultaneously, not counting whatever we were learning by ourselves. It was great. Such good times. That was called being thrown in the deep end on Kachem. I was like learning 2 Masechta Be'ion and Kachem right off the bat. And I know you don't know much about Karbanot, but I was 19 when I started learning Karbanot. So it's fine. You learn. We are starting now. We are currently learning that. Very good. That's what you're doing right now. So you will understand it. In over a decade, you can give shir on it, you know. What?
Looking forward.
Baruch Hashem. I'm not saying you have to go to the chinuch. You know, you'll be the whatever you want to do. I don't know. What do you want to do? Okay, you'll be whatever. Doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, who also gives shir on kachem.
Doctor, lawyer, Indian chief.
Oh, that's the old expression.
Really?
Yes. Huh. Doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. You never heard that expression? Okay, I'm dated. Okay, maybe it was just my parents' generation, and they said to me. Could be an accountant too. Boring, but in Smicha, the first day of Smicha, they go around the room and they said, you know, what is everyone planning on being? So obviously, you know, in Smicha, a lot of people are planning on being in Chinuch, are planning on being in Rabbanus, and then there was like 10% of the class that were planning on be accountants. and I think it was Roy Rees, who was the head of YU, Rees at the time, said, "We love our accountants because our accountants get bored, they come back to him." Right? So, anyways, fair warning. The Gemara and Hey says as follows. So, again, when we leave off on Dalet Amud Beis, what we learn is that it seems unequivocal that the definition of the Omer is as a Matir. The only question is why wasn't it included in the Mishnah? But the fact that it has that status, that it's totally defined by its ability to permit, just like the Chatas is completely defined by its ability to atone, and the Ashram of the Nazir, the Mitzorah, is totally defined by its ability to be Machshir. So too, the Omer is wrapped up in its identity as a Matir. But if you look, it's not so simple. So in the Heyman Aleph, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, five lines down, or Rash Bal, as it says here, but that's Rav Shimon ben Lakish, or also known as Reish Lakish, right? Rav Shimon ben Lakish Omer, Minchat Omer Shekimtza Shelo Lishma Kshira. And this is how we paskin, as you can see from the Rambam. Five lines down in Heyman Aleph. Right, the... Got it? Like you're smack in the middle of the line. Right? Five lines? Six lines? Six. No, five. Five. That was right. Shimon Lakish Amar Minchata Omer Shekimtza Shelo Lishma Kshira. If you did kmitza on the Omer not having a proper intent, it is in fact valid. Ushiyareha Ein Ne'echalin Ad Shetavi Minchata Omer Acheret V'tatirena. However, it does not function as a matir, and therefore the Kohanim aren't allowed to eat the remnants, the remainder of the Omer, until they do what? Bring a second Omer, Lishma, to permit it. Which means that Reish Lakish is telling you very clearly, what does he think? Kasher v'lo alu l'bayil l'mashem chalva. Right? Meaning it's kosher, even though it doesn't accomplish its ability to be matir, and therefore you're not allowed to eat, even from the omer itself, until you bring another omer which will matir it. Which means that he thinks that the omer is not a matir. Right? Meaning it's not defined as a matir. It also is matir, but it can be kosher, right? It's kosher, it's just not permitted, which means that he seems to hold that the omer has an independent identity. Right? Because he thinks that there is such a category as an Omer which is kasher. And then the Gemara gets into a complicated issue, so I'll just read it for you quickly, which is Mikra Vechi Karva. But how can you say it's even kasher? That you're allowed to bring it? There's a different halacha which appears several places in Kachim called Mimashke Yisrael. So if you look, so in Yecheskel Perek Memhei Pasuk Tedvav, the Pasuk says V'se'achat min atzon min ha'matayim Mimashkei Yisrael Mincha v'le'olah v'le'shlamim L'chaper aleihem Ne'um Adonai Elohim. And Chazal derive from this that every karban has to be Mimashkei Yisrael, something that Jews could consume, meaning kosher or permitted. If it's not permitted, then it doesn't work as a karban either. So if in fact the karban Omer is invalid, is unable to be matir, and therefore even the grain left over from Omer number one is not permitted until Omer number two is brought, then it should be that Omer number one is completely possible because it's trace. Because we learn, Mimashke Yisrael min amutar li Yisrael. So Omer of Ada Barahava, don't worry about it. You're right, it's forbidden, but because it's going to be permitted that day, it's not considered lacking, right? Because you're about to bring the other Omer, or even by sunset, it'll be mutter, and therefore it is, even though technically you're not allowed to eat it now, since it will be mutter by the end of the day, so therefore, Mimashke Yisrael is not quite, like, is it kosher to eat now? Will it be, right? Is it lacking in the permissive ability, and that it is not, and therefore it is permitted? So what do you see? There seems to be a machloket between Rav on Daf Dalet and Reish Lakish on Hay as to whether the definition of the Omer is as a matir, such that if it is incapable of being matir, that it is meaningless, or as Reish Lakish says, no. Kasher v'lo olo b'alim l'shem cholva. It works in the sense that it's a valid karban. It just doesn't accomplish its goal. So this question of whether it's a mitzvah or a matir, or a mitzvah in addition to being a matir, I should say, seems to be, you know, again, the simplest way of understanding it, I think, is the machlokes, Rav, and Reish Lakish, as to whether an Omer that doesn't accomplish its goal of permitting, whether it's completely invalid or it's valid, it just doesn't accomplish its goal. And as I said, this may also be the machloket between who? Between? Very good, right? Between the machlokes, depending on how you understand Rabbi Yochanan, but between the position that says, like Rabbi Yehuda, that it is usher until the end of the day, but the Omer cuts the usher short, where clearly what it's doing is permitting, or the position which may be Rabbi Yochanan, though again, one goes back and forth about this with Rabbi Yochanan, that no, really sunrise is sufficient, it's just that having the Omer delays the prohibition because it's creating a mitzvah, right? Because there's a mitzvah ben amukhar, again, we'll have to see that, but that goes much more in the direction that it's not defined as a matir, it's defined either exclusively as a mitzvah or maybe right ancillary or whatever. Now, of course, it could be the Yehuda thinks it's both, right? It could be the Yehuda thinks it's a matir, but that's not its definition, right? So it could be that you have hybrid positions. But at first glance, this is the machlokes Rav and Reish Lakish, and potentially also the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and at least some versions of Rabbi Yochanan, dependent on the Gemara that we saw yesterday. Okay? Good? Are we clear? I know it's a bit complicated, but are we clear? Right? Or one more time, summary? Right, so again, we said there are karbanot which are not wrapped up in their ability to accomplish a goal, and therefore if they're brought not lishma, they stand alone in terms of their validity, but you have to bring a second karban to fulfill your obligation. Certain karbanot that are wrapped up in their ability to accomplish something, the Mishnah's paradigmatic case is a chatat, or a minchat knaot, one which provides atonement or allows the sota to go through the procedure. Those, if they don't accomplish their goal, they're meaningless. I feel like the air conditioning is not working as well as it should. I don't know. Okay. Rav introduces an additional category called a matir, a karban which is defined by its ability to permit something, where if it does not permit, it's meaningless. And his example is the Omer, and then similar categories, the Machshir of the Nazir and the Mitzorah, which seems to indicate that he thinks that it is defined as a Matir. Reish Lakish says no. Even though the Omer may have matir abilities, it's not defined by its ability to be Matir, and therefore you can have such a case of a minchat omer that's brought, even though it didn't permit. And then you have the technical problem, according to Reish Lakish, if it didn't permit, how can you even eat the grain in the omer itself? Answer, you have to bring a second omer. Aye, but if the grain of the first omer is not kosher yet, then how is the omer even valid? It violates the principle of the Mashkei Yisrael, that korbanot need to be kosher. Answer, because the prohibition is going to be lifted today, it's not considered a violation of Mashkei Yisrael. Now, I will point out that it could be that this aligns with the position that it's the day that permits and not the Omer, because normally we say that these like automatic principles, like Mechoser's Man L'Vayom, is only when there's no action required. So it could be that he's not talking about the fact that the Omer will permit the remainder. He's saying that even if you didn't bring the Omer, once the day was over, it would become permitted. And if that's the case, right, maybe that is, he's posking like the other Shikar in the Gemara, that it's not about the Omer, it's about the day. Fine. This question, we said, of whether it's defined as a matir or a mitzvah may also come down to that machlokas, which may be Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan, or maybe that machlokas within Rabbi Yochanan, as we saw in the Gemara, as to whether the Isser is later in the day and the Omer bumps it up a few hours, which points in the direction that's defined as a matir, or that no, if you didn't have the Omer, it'd be mutter earlier from sunrise to the 16th, and the Omer delays the Isser. And there we talked about the possibility that that's because the fact that you're chayav to bring it creates a iser. We'll see other formulations of that when we move on to the sugya. But that would push in the direction that it is a mitzvah. Okay? Good? Good. Okay. So... Oh, did I leave my phone inside? I did. Okay. And without the printer, I need to read it off my phone, so give me 1 second. Okay. So, let's look. If you have the source sheet, so now look at... I'm sorry. I forgot. I gave you even more of the Gemara. Yeah. Sorry, the Gemara then continues on this. So skip down to the bottom of Heyamid Aleph to what I give you, Ela Marapapa. I knew I gave you more Gemara. So look at the Gemara on Heyamid Aleph, Ela Marapapa. So the Gemara had gone through the different possibilities, and he said, Hainu Taima de Rish Lakish. He said, no, Rish Lakish, I explained differently. The Kesavar Heyer Mizrach Matir. He said, no. You know why Rish Lakish thinks that it's not a violation of Mashke Yisrael? Because he's of the opinion that the Omer is not Matir at all. What's Matir? Heyer Pnei HaMizrach. So now the Gemara, as Rapapa presents, it seems to explicitly tell you that the question of whether the Omer is permitted, even not Lishma, hangs on what question? Meaning, in other words, whether it's a matir or not, hangs on what question? Whether you hold that the Omer is matir or sunrise is matir. Because Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan both say that Afilu Bizman Beit HaMikdash Kayam Heyer Mizrach Matir. Because this is the version of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, you think, not like Rabbi Yehuda, that, right, Rapapa, as we saw already in the Gemara, holds of the version of Rabbi Yochanan that what? That he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. He thinks that the 16th in the morning, not the 17th, the 16th in the morning is what's matir. V'ha d'reish lakish la b'feirish itmar. And then the Gemara says, by the way, that Reish Lakish never said this explicitly. We derived it implicitly from the following. The Mishnah says, you can't bring the Minchat Bikurim or the Minchat Behema before the Omer. If you bring it, it is invalid. So we already saw this Mishnah. If you bring this before the Shteh Lechem, lo yavi, you're not supposed to bring other carbonate before the Shteh Lechem, then maybe kasher, but if you do, it's valid. This is only in 14th and 15th. Aval b'shishasar, on the 16th, if you brought grain even before the Omer, would it be kasher b'diavad? Or if you bring another mincha? Yes. Why? So he says, maybe kasher. Why? Alma k'saber her mizrach matir. Because he said, look, before the 16th, you can't bring a mincha, and if you brought it, it's invalid. Why? Right, because without the sunrise on the 16th, it's usur. If it's usur, it's a violation of Mashke Yisrael, and the carbon is completely invalid. But if you bring it after sunrise, so then you shouldn't do it because there's a mitzvah to wait until the Omer, but if you did do it, is it valid? It's valid. Why? Because there's a mitzvah to wait until the Omer, but it's not treif, because fundamentally sunrise is what was matir. Right? So it's like the Shteh Lechem. The Rava, my Rava says, Minchara Omer, Shikim Shalosh Maksheira, Ushira Nechalan, Eino Tzir Chad Mochan, Minchara Omer, Acheret Latira. Rava takes it a third position, which is has its own lumdus involved, which is that no, not only that, but the Minchat Omer they did Kmitza Shol Lishma, it's kosher, and you can eat it without this next Omer. Why? She'ein machsheva moelet el mishiru la'avoda v'davar hara'o la'avoda u'makom hara'o la'avoda, because machshava, which is not lishma, can only invalidate something which is able to be used for avoda, and with someone who can do avoda, meaning mishiru la'avoda v'kein kohen ba'al mum. Only a kohen who doesn't have a mum can invalidate a karban. If a karban, a kohen who has a ba'al mum tries to have the wrong machshavot on a karban, don't work. And the Omer can't be invalidated without machshava. Why? Because it's a chiddush. It's a unique karban. Because technically it's treif, right? Technically it's treif because it hasn't been brought yet, right? And therefore, the fact that it's a chiddush, it's not something that by normal rules should be kosher. It's not subject to normal invalidations either. Now, according to Rava, what would you say? Is the Omer a matir or not? I would say, yeah, why? Because he's saying, by right, it really is treif.
Yeah.
It's just it's a chiddush, which means...
it's really a matir.
Correct, exactly. And that's what he said. Look at Rashi. Go minchat chitin. Abo minchat omer shal sarim ein ruya lavodazu belvad lahatir v'lo mishum karban atir. But he says it's different. Rashi defends and makes it that that's not what the chiddush is. He says, no, no, no. What's the chiddush? V'davar aroy lavoda. He says, no, no, no. The reason it can't be invalidated is because it's made of barley. And barley is... never brought as a karban, it's only wheat. Now there's a kasha with understanding the way Rashi does, which is that there's one other karban that is brought of barley, which we explicitly said machshava does matter for, and that is the mincha knot, the mincha of the sota. So therefore Rashi tries to defend it and says, okay, I have a different way of explaining it, which is that even though that should be true, it's called a chatat. So that's Rashi. But Tosfot says it the way I said it. And if you look at Tosfot there, Tosfot says no. Davar roi lavoda. Rashi says, perish bekuntres, kigon minchat chote lafuke minchat omer shel sorim, dein roi lavoda zu bilvad. This excludes the omer, which is made of barley. Vekasha, dimchen minchat oli tibazal lishma, Tosfot says, mapidon. That doesn't make any sense. The paradigmatic case in the Mishnah of an omer that's invalidated lo lishma is... the chatar and the minchat kanot, and the minchat kanot is barley. So barley can't be the reason. This is not roi la'avoda. The nir lo faresh, the chashiv minchat omer, davi she'ein roi la'avoda, mishum davi l'gavol asur l'akrav chadash koma omer. He says, why is it asur? Why is it a chiddush? Because it's really treif. Because until you bring the karban, it's not mutter. So now if I ask you, it could be that the question of whether it's a matzah or a mitzvah is a machloket who? Rashi and Tosfot. Tosfot said, what's the chiddush of the Omer? That it's correct, it's usur to bring, but it permits itself. According to Rashi, it's not usur. Why is it a chiddush? Because it's barley. But it sounds like it's not defined as a matzah. It's not really usur.
Wait,
yeah, he says, you're right, that's an exception, but it's an exception to the exception because it's called a chatas. That's Rashi's defense. Is you're right, it's barley, so it should not be able to be invalidated, but it's an exception to the exception because it is called a chatas. Tosfos said, no, it's because it's a matir, right? Because it's usur and matir is itself, and that's the chiddush. So it could be that the machlokes of mitzvah matir is in machlokes Rav and Rish Lakish. It could be that it's a machlokes even then how to understand Rava. Rashi versus Tosfot, and it could be that part of the machlokes is Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda, which seems to be the simplest of how the Gemara presents it within Reish Lakish. Okay, to finish this off, this section off, I want to just look at one midrash and an Emek Bracha. Okay, so and then you can decide if we go into the Shtei Halachim question, which is what I put in section 7, or if we hold on to that. My tendency is to continue with this, because we'll see that the exact same model will be true in the Shtei Halachim. But if you want, we can come back to the Shtei Halachim later, whatever you want. But let's finish it by the Omer. So if you look at, what did I put, 6D? So look at the Otsar Midrashim. So this is one line in the Midrash. The Midrash says, Shiv'a Mo'adotim, there are 7 holidays. Shabbat, Chag HaMatzot, Chag HaOmer, Chag HaShofarot, Chag Yom HaKippurim, Chag Sukkot, V'Chag HaAtzeret. Chag HaAtzeret, Shmini HaAtzeret. Now, what does the Midrash sound like? It calls the day that you bring the Omer what? Chag HaOmer, its own holiday. What does that make it sound like? That it's a mitzvah hayom. The reason you bring the Omer isn't just because it's matir, but because it's the carbon of the day, just like the musaf you bring on Shabbos.
Well, no.
Or something like that.
You could say it's a matir, just that matir.
So it could be a dual aspect, right? Correct. And that's why my tendency is to maybe continue with these sources, but we can decide. But the Emek Bracha notes this element. So you look at Emek Bracha. The Emek Bracha is a Talmud of the Griz. He lived from 1908 to 1942. So if you do the math, he died at the age of 34. Right? He was very, very young. He wrote 2 Svarim, 2 excellent Svarim. One is Emek Bracha. The other is Torah Zraim. So he writes, Midrash Tadshe. In the Midrash you find Shema Mo'adonim, Shabbat, Chag HaMatzot, Chag HaOmer, Chag HaShavuot, Chag HaShofar, Chag Yom HaKippurim, Chag HaSukkot. So he says, Hada Chashav Chag HaMatzot v'Chag HaOmer b'Shnayim, the fact that it calls Pesach and Chag HaOmer, which is the second day of Pesach, has 2 different holidays, Nireh HaTam, it seems, Mishum Diba'oto Yom Hayu Makriven Karban Nosaf HaMusafei HaChag, because they brought a different carbon on that day. Hainu Kivsei HaOlah, they brought the special Olo, the special offerings, Biglal HaKarban HaOmer, because of the Omer. And since the second day of Pesach is distinct in terms of its karbanot from the other days of Pesach, it's considered essentially a holiday in and of itself. Just like you find the erchen that Maishna b'chag namrin kol yoma halel, Maishna b'chag namrin kol yoma. Where do we see this notion that when you bring a unique karban, it transforms the day? By halel, where we know that you say complete halal every day of Sukkot, but not of Pesach. And the Gemara in Erechin says why? Because Pesach, all the days are the same karban, and therefore you only say halal with a bracha on day 1. And after that you say without a bracha. Now, Ashkenazim say with a bracha, but meaning you say it shalim, right? Well, we say chatzi halal. Right? So, meaning you say chatzi halal and chol hamoed, because since it's the same karbanot every day of Pesach, only the first day is the main holiday and everything is just sort of subsidiary. As opposed to Sukkot, where you bring a different karban every single day, and therefore each day is its own holiday. So he says, what you see from this is that the fact that you bring a unique karban on a day is what makes it its own holiday. I read the chil karbanot mishavi lechag b'fnei atzmo. The different karbanot make it its own holiday. Lomar lo halal b'fnei atzmo k'mochein leaving yom karbanot omer. And that's why the day of the bringing of the omer is its own holiday. Dinechshav of me'aytai melechag b'fnei atzmo. Ach lefize herli chacham echa yakche lama lo neim halal b'yom sheni shel pesach mishum chag omer lechag b'fnei atzmo. So he said, if that's the case, why isn't its own holiday? Why don't you according to this, you should say that the second day of Pesach, you say halal with halal shalim, right? It's a new non-chafaretz, right? Meaning even in Eretz Yisrael, right? Because it's its own holiday. What's his answer? L'cha'ora hayanireh. It seems to me, d'zeh tali b'plukta shel rav v'reish lakish b'menachot daf dalet. He says, you're right, but I think it depends on the machloket that we just saw, which is rav and reish lakish. Gavim min charomzer shekimtsa shlo lishma. By the Omer that is brought, Shalom Lishma. Dili Rav, Disavar, Dipsua, Psula, Wad Lahatir, Blavatira. Because according to Rav, it's invalid if you bring it not Lishma. Why? Because it is defined as a Matir. Hare Disavar, Dakrav Omer, Imbo, Bechal, Akrav, Mishum, Chobarayom. So Rav holds that what? What's the definition of the Omer? Only? As a Matir. V'chol ikara in el hatir chadash, and therefore it's defined as that which permits. V'akarchav kevin shlo etira p'tula, and therefore if you didn't bring it, it's invalid. L'fizel l'shayach klal l'asot yom sheni shel pesach l'chag men finatzmo. So therefore, the second day of Pesach is not its own holiday. Kevan shakaver omer in my keves above igwalo eino klal cholo chovat hayom, because bringing the carbon the second day of Pesach doesn't relate to the identity of the day. It's about being a matir. Avar l'reish lakish. According to Rish Lakish, that you can have a karban omer brought shelo lishma that is valid. You just have to bring another omer. That shows you that it's also a mitzvah, right? And specifically chovat hayom. And therefore, it may not permit the chadash. It's still an expression of the obligation of the day. The mikri karban shel oto hayom. The didei shapir shayach lasot oto yom sheni shel pesach lechag b'fnei atzem. The chilo karkabanot shel oto hayom. Haynu mishum haomer mikevetz ha'olah banah michov aliyom. And therefore, according to Reish Lakish, the second day of Pesach would in fact be defined as an independent holiday that would get hallel. And he says that's what the midrash is playing on a Reish Lakish. The problem I would note, and I think this is why he leaves it Bitsarach Iyun, is that there's a problem here, which is if this is true, then if we paskin like Reish Lakish, we should say Halal Shalim on the second day of Pesach. Right? Because if you paskin like Reish Lakish, that the Minchat Omer that's brought to Lolishma is still kasher, that shows that it's also Mitzvah Hayom and not just a Matir. And if that's the case, we should paskin like the Midrash, as he's presenting it, that the second day of Pesach has its own definition, namely, it's defined as Chag HaOmer. But according to that logic, based on the Gemara in Erchin, just like on every day of Sukkot, we have Halal with a Bracha, and a Halal Shalim with a Bracha, so too, on the second day of Pesach, even not in Chutzlaretz, you should have Halal Shalem with a bracha. The problem is we paskin like Reish Lakish. Where we paskin like Reish Lakish. So how would you defend it? So I think you have two possibilities of defending it, and I guess we'll end with this because you said the guy's coming soon, right? Okay, so let me try to at least finish my thoughts on this, and then do you guys, what would you rather do? Would you rather see this machloket play out of mitzvah matir in the parallel sugya shtei alechem? Or do you want to wrap up the omer issues tomorrow and move on to the question of mitzvah? Right? What exactly is this mitzvah? You want to do that? Like, when we said in the Gemara, the mitzvah that you have a weight, you know, and then just do Yerushalmi and Tosfot tomorrow.
Just as you said that, it's calling me. He's probably a few minutes.
Okay, so let me finish my thoughts. Decide and let me know. I'll send. Why don't I do this? I'll send out the next few makara, right? That would allow us to do that, and we can decide first thing in the morning whether you'd rather continue this short sheet or come back to this short sheet, which basically plays out the same machlokas of mitzvah versus matir and the shtei alechem, which is my preference because I like following things conceptually. But if you guys would rather go to the matir Yerushalmi, I'm happy to do that also. What? Yeah, I'll send it out. Oh, you're not on. I'll add you to it. Right, I made it over Pesach. Okay, so I think there are two ways of explaining this according to the Amik Bruch's analysis. One is to say that the Midrash may think that the Karban HaOmer is a mitzvah hayom, like a holiday mitzvah. But you could say, slightly more attenuated, that no, the Omer is a mitzvah, it's just not a mitzvah hayom. It's not conceptualized as a holiday-inducing mitzvah. It's just a mitzvah. And therefore, it's a mitzvah, and it's standalone of its matir, but that doesn't mean that it creates a holiday, right? That's a pretty extreme presentation. It's found in the Chag, as a Chag HaOmer, as it is in the Midrash. The other is to say that, remember, even within the possibility that the Mincha Shekimtzu Shel Ol Lishma is kasher, we had a machloket Rashi Tosfot of whether the reason it's kasher is because it's a matir, right? It's defined as a matir, or because of some special Xeris HaKasu, because it's barley. If you say it's because it's barley, you could say, right, this teaches us nothing. We have no idea. Maybe the reason that it's not, right, that gives you a little more wiggle room. So it could be that it hangs on the Machloket Rashi and Tosfot there. Okay, he's here.
So I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay, so let me outline just the issue I wanted to say, and then you can decide whether you want to do this now or later, okay? So the next sources that I gave you, I'm looking at it now, at least one of them we should do is the following. There's a parallel machlokes by the Shtei Halachem, right? Whether, remember, the Shtei Halachem does in the Beit HaMikdash what the Omer does. Begvulin. Remember the next Mishnah? That you're not allowed to bring new grain as a karban until you bring the Shtei Halachem. So the Shtei Halachem as well has this ambiguous status. I think we should finish this tomorrow and do it at least for the Shtei Halachem. So what we'll do tomorrow is we'll see how this plays out in the Shtei Halachem. I'm sorry now. Part of me feels like I should hold off on it, but on the other hand, conceptually, we're here already. So I want to see that. If he's not here, then I'll summarize one more issue now. Is he not here? Tell me. If he's not here, I'll do one more issue and wrap it up quickly.
He wrote an epoch of Yerushalayim, so he just wrote me that. Finish your thing, I just pulled my sentence.
Okay, so I'll just say that there is one more. If you look at source section 9 here, there is one more machlokes that might hang on this mitzvah matir. And that is a Mishnah that appears in Mem Hei Amud Bet. Technically, in the Mishnah, it's Dalet Gimel, which is the following. You know what? No, you know, we'll pick up with this tomorrow. We'll do this Mishnah. You don't have to bother reading the Acharnim. Just read the Mishnah. The Machlokas about whether the Omer was brought in the... Or, I don't know, Yosef, do you mind if I do one point without you?
It's fine.
No, you don't want me to. That's not nice.
What? If I can run and check.
Okay, you know what? Give me 30 seconds. Let me say this point, and then maybe I'll flesh it out quickly tomorrow, okay? There's a machloket in the Mishnah as to whether they brought the Omer in the Midbar before they came into Eretz Yisrael. Oh, good, they're bringing it up, so I can finish it.
I said it looks pretty shabby.
Good. Okay, good, so I can continue. So, if you look at the Mishnah. Good, Baruch Hashem, I can finish this. So, the Mishnah says that in the second half of the Mishnah, Amr of Shimon, Allah gave him an answer. Well, ain't time with Barb Shakal Amr of Chumash Abkudim Karib and Midbar, Bakal Amr of Targanim, ain't Karib and Midbar. Mishabau laaretz karavu elu ve'elu v'pnei ma ani omer yikravu kvasim lo lechem v'nei shakvasim matirin afim lechem lo kvasim she'in lo, etc. So, in the first half, it quotes the position of Reb Shimon ben Nanas, and then you get the position of Reb Shimon that any karban that's mentioned in Vayikra was not brought in the Midbar. Anything mentioned in Bamidbar was brought in the Midbar. Okay? Now, why is this a relevant machlokes? Because everyone agrees that when did the Isser Chadash begin? Not until they entered Eretz Yisrael. Which means that we have a machlokes in the Mishnah. Me'achuz. If you think that the Omer was brought even in the Midbar, even though there was no Isser Chadash, so what does that clearly show you? That an element of the Karban HaOmer is an independent mitzvah that has nothing to do with Matir. If you think they didn't drink it in the Midbar, then that might be because since the Isser, I said, it could be a Machlokes which hangs on this. And if you look, and I'll just summarize here what you have in the acronym. Again, I gave you the Daf HaDaf that just summarizes, so let me just say it for you outside. The Karan Ora says, this is his question. He says, I don't understand. Why would you bring the Omer in the Midbar if there was no Isser Chadash? What does he clearly hold? And he leaves the Tzarchi and he has no answer. So what does the Karen Ora clearly hold? If he thinks that he just doesn't understand the position, why would you ever bring the Omer if there's no Isra Chadash? How does he conceptualize the Omer if his entire role is as a Masir? And that's why he doesn't know why you would bring it if there's no Isra Chadash. There's nothing to permit. Rav Meir Arik therefore rules that in fact we paskin that they didn't bring it in the Omer. Right? And he goes through a bit of a convoluted discussion in Tosfot, but basically he just says that we paskin they didn't bring it. Right? That the Omer was an exception, they didn't bring it. But the Grash Elberg says, no, what's the answer? How would you defend and say that they did bring it in the Midbar if it's not only a matir, but it's a mitzvah? And therefore he says, it's very simple, Yishnei Dinam Omer. Havad Omer Kedem Elahatir HaKadosh. One of its roles is to be matir, and the second is, besides we're coming to be matir, it comes to the mitzvah. And if that's the case, so then you could say they brought it in the Midbar, not because it was matir, but because it was a chovat hayom. And therefore, it would come out fascinatingly that the omer that's brought in the Midbar was exclusively a mitzvah. The one that's brought in Eretz Yisrael takes on a new role. And then he goes on to explain the proof from Tosfot that the Meir Arik brought, so I don't want to get into that. But again, so it could be that this question is yet another nafkamina, right? Of mitzvah, whether there's also a mitzvah element or it's completely defined as matir. Is would you ever bring the Karban HaOmer before the Yisra Chadash even takes effect? If you say you would, that's because it clearly has a mitzvah element also. Therefore, even if there's no reason to be matir yet, it still stands alone as a mitzvah. If you say no, if there's nothing to be matir, it's not worth bringing it, so then it's clear you think that it's totally defined as a matir. Okay, so tomorrow maybe we'll get to both. But I want you to briefly see the discussion about Shtei Alechem, but I'll also send you the Yerushalmi, and just so you know, the sugya that we just did in Daf Hey, do that Tosfot. I'm going to tell you, it's on the source sheet, this Tosfot on the top, Hey Amunat Amun Beis, of Her Pnei Mizrach, that's going to be one of the key Tosfotim, and the Yerushalmi, and that's what we'll do tomorrow.